Welcome to In Between Expats, and thank you for listening to the show. My name is Rodrigo Bravo, and let's get started. Carlos Botero is a native of Venezuela, an IT engineer, and an expat living in Prague who became a single dad right before the pandemic last year. Carlos gives fellow expats sound advice who may be in a similar predicament. He also discusses the political situation in his country with the hope that one day Venezuela will be a democracy again. Thank you, Carlos, for being on the show. And before we get into your story as an expat, you were born in Caracas, Venezuela, of Colombian parents. What did you study? When did you decide to leave your country?
Right. So yes, I was born in Caracas. My parents, both of them Colombian, they actually met in Venezuela when Venezuela was blooming in the nice times. Everybody wanted to go there. So that's how actually they ended up there for different reasons. And they met there. I studied informatic engineering. Then when I left Venezuela, well, when I was studying, I joined an organization called ISEC. It's the largest global student-run organization. Anyway, one of the things that ISEC does is professional exchange. It's like the rotary that you go to study, but instead of study, you go to work somewhere else for some time. So I got involved with this organization, and thanks to them, I went to Colombia for a while. And then afterwards, I went to Estonia, where I was working at Skype. It was a year and a half period that I spent in Estonia.
It's almost impossible to talk about Venezuela without discussing what has happened in your country in the last 20 years. When you left Venezuela, did you ever imagine that the country would take such a horrific turn? I mean, I grew up in Ecuador in the 80s, and all you ever heard was great news about Venezuela. It was such a rich country. People would go shopping in Miami for the weekend. There were Miss Universes everywhere. What was your country like before Chavez? Paint us a picture, please.
You just described very well. It was a country of immigrants. Everybody was going to Venezuela. You know, it was the Latin American dream, I would say, for many, that they could not go somewhere else, but they liked Venezuela because they had all the opportunities thanks to the oil. I was very happy, actually, when I left. Even I left when Chavez was already for some time in the government, but I always thought I was going back. My idea was, okay, I'm going for a year and a half for this internship in Skype, and then I'll go back to my lovely country. Well, but while I was there, things started to get worse and worse in Venezuela. Family and friends were all telling me, don't come back, dude. You are already in Europe. Find a way to stay there because things here are not getting any better. They're just going worse and worse. Venezuela was the country that received people from everywhere, you know, Spaniards, Italians, Latin Americans, plenty, Colombians a lot. And that's how actually my parents ended up there because they were searching for better opportunities. So, you know, I could not imagine how it is today.
There's a small community of Venezuelans in the Czech Republic. I mean, before we get into your professional career, because your situation is different than, say, people who are newly arrived or refugees even, you've met with some of these people and as well as well-known dissenters such as Lilian Tintori and Tamara Suju. Do any of them express any hope for change in Venezuela?
Well, you said that it's a small community. I'm surprised to see how it's not that small anymore. You know, when I arrived, remember in the embassy, I asked how many people were from Venezuela, how many were registered. There were like, you know, 50 in the whole country. Nowadays, we're talking over 300 or more, not who had arrived here. And many of them even are coming because they have some far descendant who is Czech.
Sorry, they're descendants of Czechs.
Exactly. So they're descendants of Czech, and there is one whose surname is Dvořák, and he still pronounced it wrongly because he doesn't know how to pronounce that name. Anyway, so do they have hope that they can go back? I've been speaking with some of them. There is a wish, certainly. We do miss our country. There is like, oh, I wish I could go back to the country I left so long time ago, the nice country I remember. But many are getting more realistic. Even myself, I started to see that this is hard. This is a difficult moment. I was praying for a long time for some international help because the people will not be able to take out these criminals who are, you know, also supported by bigger criminals like the Cuban regime and their army, and also from Russia. And it's just common people who wants to get rid of this. And they tried. They have died in the streets fighting for this for a long time. After a while, I just see more people leaving and leaving and leaving. I have just a very few friends who have stayed. And of course, they're thinking on what to do and where to go already.
And you still have family there. Is that correct?
I do, actually, yes. My mom and my sister, together with my nephew and niece, they're still there. There has been the discussion also what to do, where to go next. For my mom is already difficult. She feels, you know, right at my age, it's difficult to go somewhere. And I have my home here. And I told her, like, she could come here to the Republic, but she was just saying that it could be too cold for her.
Right. Czech winters are very cold and very long.
Well, tell me now. Right now, it's supposed to be spring and it's still 12 degrees.
Exactly. But circling back to your career, you're an IT engineer, and you mentioned that you went to Estonia for an internship at Skype. You also went to Malaysia. Can you tell me about those experiences? What kind of, I mean, such diverse and different countries that they are. Tell me about culture shock and the different things that you saw and experienced there.
So let's start by Estonia. I went for this exchange. Maybe I'll give a big background on how I ended up in Estonia. Because I joined this organization that I was telling you because they told me that I could go somewhere in the world. And at that time, I wanted to go to Japan. The reason for that is that I went to study English in Madison, Wisconsin. And while I was there, I actually had a Japanese girlfriend during that time. So that's why I got interested in going to Japan. So far, I haven't been there still, but I still want to go. But that's why I joined this organization. Then there was the moment when I was searching for an opportunity for myself. And I found one in Japan, but it was for 3 months only. Yeah. And I wanted something with a longer period. And at the same time, appeared an opportunity to work at Skype. Skype at that time, you know, it was still not that much known, but I loved it. Everybody was using MSN. Now the Microsoft Messenger. And I really liked it. And it was for longer periods. So it was in Estonia. Where is Estonia? I even didn't know where was Estonia in the map. I knew it was part of, you know, these Baltic countries that you heard that they were part of the USSR. I even thought they were speaking Russian. They actually got offended when I said that. They didn't like it. So I ended up there and it was a wonderful experience. It was really nice. It was also a tough winter, I must say. And me as a tropical guy who was used to go to the beach every weekend, suddenly being on the minus 35, and more than the coldness, it was the darkness what really hit me. You know, that was kind of tough. Like, you are waking up, it's totally dark. During your working time, you see that there is some light outside and then a tree suddenly is dark again.
You wake up with it in the dark and go to sleep in the dark.
Well, yeah.
And it's dark throughout the day.
yeah. It's just dark for a long period of time. And yeah, actually the summertime was actually fun because it's the total opposite. Of course, there is sunlight since 3 a.m. but then you are outside. Everything is open, by the way, because there is light. And, you know, you're outside and you feel, wow, I feel tired. What is it? And then you check and, you know, there is big sunlight. And suddenly you check your watch and, it's 11 p.m.
And tell me a little bit about Malaysia.
As I was telling you, I was here thinking that I was going to go back to Venezuela. But at the end, there was the pressure and so on. So I started to search for opportunities. While I was in Estonia, well, I found an opportunity to work for Mindvalley. Yeah. In Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur. And I said, well, yeah, finally, I can go to a warmer country, but certainly different, yeah, because they are not a light country. They are a Muslim country also. By law, they are Muslim. Nothing against it, but it's just different to what I was used to. And yeah, there were certain differences around, but I also treasure the time I spend there because it opened my mind to that world, no, not to the typical arguments that you hear around about people from this or that religion and so on, how they behave. Actually, I was speaking with them a lot, no, and learning from them on why they have those traditions. For example, why women are so much covered compared to other places. And the way they see it, even the women themselves, is because they feel more protected that way. But they even feel pity, let's say, for other women in other parts of the world because they are not covered and they are exposed to somebody with bad intentions. And it's not a Muslim thing about being very covered. You know, you have also Christian families who prefer that, you know, the females in their family are not so exposed. They are more covered. Or they just have it perhaps to a higher level when they even cover their faces as well. But yeah, the experience in Malaysia was also very nice. Actually, it felt quite comfortable over there, I must say. Even felt familiar. Maybe weather was part of it, but also the diversity. You know, you had the Malays, you had the Chinese, you had the Indians. Yeah. So it felt similar when I was in Venezuela. You have also different races. So the cuisine is wonderful, I must say.
And I presume you never made it to Japan.
Not yet. It's still in the bucket list. I really want to go there eventually.
And you were interested in Japan just because of the girlfriend, or were you interested in the culture as a whole? And what interested you about Japan?
Right. Well, I mean, I was before the girlfriend, you know, I was watching the animes and things like this. But I must say that after her and I learned a lot of the Japanese culture, I even started to study Japan when I went back to Japanese, when I went back to Venezuela. Then I also started to learn more about the culture and it really got me, you know, like very interesting culture. So I even have my plan already in my head. I want to go to three specific places for three different reasons. Tokyo, because of course, capital, huge metropolis and all of this. I want to go to Kyoto because of the history over there. And I want to go to Okinawa to see, you know, the fishermen and, you know, this type of more country life in such a metropolis type of country as Japan is. Yeah.
It certainly is a very fascinating country. So tell me, how did you end up in the Czech Republic? First in the city of Brno. What do you do in this country?
Right. So while I was in Estonia, I actually met who is the mother of my kids. So we met there and we were dating for a while. I went to Malaysia, she went to Bangkok, so we were visiting each other. Well, actually, while I was in Malaysia, I found out that I was becoming a father. So that's the reason why we came here. She's Czech. Yeah, she's from Brno. So that's the first place I arrived. Yeah, for a while, I was working remotely with my family. I just told them the situation that, well, I'm becoming a father and going to be responsible for that. So they told me, okay, just we are an online business. So as long as you have internet, you can stay working there. So I did. Even at some point, the intentions were to go back. The idea was to go back to Malaysia, now as a whole family. But well, I also opened myself to see, okay, what opportunities will be here. Here there was family of her side, at least. It will be simpler. So in the end, I found a job. I started to work for a company called Webnode, which offers an online website building solution for small businesses. So I started to work on that. I expanded the project to Latin America, to Spanish-speaking countries, later also to Portuguese-speaking countries also on the marketing side of it. And that's how I started. And then I started to, see different opportunities. I moved to Prague to actually a competitor. And then I remained here in Prague I've been here already 10 years.
As you're an IT expert, what languages do you recommend to, like, beginners who want to learn?
Well, right now you have to think mobile, man. Mobile is important, right? So for a beginner, well, even not so beginner, I would say consider React Native. Yeah, because from React Native, you can do both mobile and web at the same time. You have to get notions also on what is the backend development, what is the frontend development. Yeah, actually React Native is more just the front-end part. For the back-end part of it, which is the whole logic of software, well, there are different options. You can choose Backbone. Well, it's not that new anymore, but it's rather stable, because many who are in the university or just fresh graduate, they stick too much to PHP because that's what university teaches, but it's not really a career path, I would say. I mean, everybody with just PHP background, companies are not so interested in that.
You are a single dad now here in Prague. Tell me, how is it to raise two kids as far as their education is concerned, their day-to-day? And also, what is it like for an expat to go through divorce proceedings?
That's something that is not easy, of course. And I was even afraid at some point. I was thinking, wow, I mean, there was this moment when we split it. Yeah. And of course, then there came the situation with the custody of the kids, which for me was the most important thing, right? The advice I can give to anybody going through such situation is, you know, find a good lawyer who can support you. I was very lucky to find a good one. Sometimes, yeah, it could be expensive, but, you know, it's in this case, you're getting what you're paying for. If you go for something cheaper, you might not go well. And regarding their education, because it's important. Of course, we are here and they're learning Czech language, at school, which is something I cannot really help them with because my Czech is still not that good. I try, sit with them. And in this case, of course, there is still a mother who can help them for that. That's relevant, is you can keep a good relationship with the other partner. That's a good thing. Nevertheless, I also have friends who can help with this. In other subjects like math or history or geography, I support them, whatever I do. During the pandemic, it was an interesting time, because, they were living with me and everything was online. And I took it as an opportunity to show them more about how to use the computer to do their homework. Because just to give an example, teachers were scanning some part of the book and they were expecting that kids were going to print that out, fill it up, scan it again and send it back. Yeah. I was like, why you have to go through all that process if whatever you receive a scan, you can actually edit directly. You know, you just open it in this app or in this program and then you're able to add the answers in there. You don't have to be printing and scanning later. I try to raise them very independent also. For example, they go to school by themselves. Also, you can do that in this country. In other countries, you might prefer not to, right? For security reasons. Here it's totally possible. They even wake up to do their own breakfast, lunch, or breakfast, not like the snack, that they take to the school.
I was impressed to see that you taught them how to cook. And they
They
do different things. I mean, not just sandwiches or something, but actual meals.
Yeah, we made some videos there in the Instagram. Yeah, we made frittatas and we did some pulao. That's something inside a pineapple. It's something Chinese that I found. I actually learned to cook because of being abroad. You know, I was raised in a typical Latin American family. When I was entering to the kitchen because I was hungry, I wanted to prepare something simple for myself. And then we live with grandma and grandma was going, what are you doing? No, go away. I'm going to make it for you. Things like this. So actually I didn't know how to cook anything, but
what
then
a great
I was,
life.
it was comfortable, but I must say that it wasn't that helpful for the future because then I was out on my own and I burned rice many times. And that's how I started. I started to miss the typical food of us. And I just, went to YouTube, started to see recipes. I started to try out at the beginning. Yeah, as I said, I was burning a lot of stuff. But then I got a grasp of it and I enjoyed cooking. And so since now I've been teaching them to also cook with me.
I also learned how to cook a little bit here when I moved abroad. But my repertoire of the things I could make is so very limited. So I don't dare stuff pineapples with anything. I'll stick with rice and chicken and beef, and that's about it.
All right. My kids actually, they liked it. I'm glad to say that I'm preparing them for the world when they can be independent on that side as well.
I'm going to do a sharp turn, and I'm going to ask you about what books or movies about Venezuela or anything you deem important. What would you recommend to the audience?
Well, if you want to know about Venezuela, it's only in Spanish though, but there is a series, it's called El Comandante, The Commander, made by a Colombian TV channel called Caracol. And that one explains the life of Chavez. Of course, with some fiction in it as well, but it does describe quite well some key points on his term, on his time, I would say. I would say it's also worth to see the movie The North of the South, North del Sur. Actually, that one is supporting Chavez. And why I said that is good to see it? Well, so you try to understand also why he has been supported by many people. I'm not the one who just say that we were, as Venezuela, as a country, we were just better before everybody, you know, because there is something that we must accept, is that 80% of the population was poor. And he just made a single math, very simple math. Oh, there are more people, there are more voters, so let's speak to them. So that gives you a hint of what was happening before as well and why he got so popular. Unfortunately, he took that popularity for nothing good.
And what other books would you recommend?
I really like Robert Kiyosaki books in general. Rich Dad Poor Dad, The Investment Quadrant, Investing Guide also that he has. Lately, I'm reading one that is called Fake. That one is interesting because also talk about cryptocurrencies. So it's also a topic that I'm interested in. There is also T. Harv Eker. He has The Secret of the Millionaire Mind. Well, as you can see, I've been focusing on that type of books because I also have this entrepreneurial blood, let's say. I've been trying a few businesses in the past and I still have the intentions of build something else. So they have been good supporters.
What are you doing now? What type of business are you building now? Or trying to build?
I'm working on a personal financials app. Actually, it has been something I started with a Excel sheet at some point in the past after I read this book of The Secret of the Millionaire Mind. I used the advices that he gave on how to handle your money, based on a spreadsheet, just like that. And then I started to build a prototype app for that, which is the one I'm currently using. And I must say it has been really helpful, even through the divorce period. It was really helpful. You need to go through expenses and things like this.
When are we going to see a beta prototype?
Well, actually, I'm right now in the search of a technical partner, let's say, to program something better, because what I have prepared is good for myself, for my own use. But I use something that is not code-based software. So, hey, if somebody's listening and is interested in partnering with somebody with a good idea and with good knowledge of IT, but not the skills for developing, well, let's just speak.
I'll certainly put your LinkedIn information on the show notes so people can contact you if they're interested.
Of course, that would be great.
And Carlos, tell me, is there anything you'd like to tell the audience before we say goodbye?
Well, in general, because let's say we're talking about expats, right? How to live in other places, right? Just do it, man. It's a very rich, full experience. Try it out. Maybe at the beginning, try something closer to you, as I did. I went first to Colombia. And even if it is a closer culture, it's still different. You start to see the differences around and on yourself among the others. But that's enrichful. And then try something different, something drastic, like I did also with Estonia. And while you are there, there will be a moment you'll be missing stuff from home. And that's fine. That's natural. But don't let that blind you and enjoy the experience of being somewhere else, learning the culture somewhere else, their food, their language. That's something I must say I should work more on, because when you learn the language of the other place, you really open another world for yourself.
As far as food is concerned, what are your favorite dishes here in the Czech Republic?
Oh, Czech? Well, I would say the duck is one of my favorites. And well, eventually the pork knee. They are heavy though. they are very hearty, heavy food. I started not to consume that much, but eventually I enjoy them from time to time.
As far as Venezuelan food, at least your community here in the Czech Republic, there's a place where you can get your arepas and your tequeños, and it's a place called Arepas de Lina. We both know the owner, very nice lady, and at least you have something to take you back home to.
Oh, certainly, yeah. That was really a nice thing to see, no? When Lina was opening, I was supporting her. I said, yeah, please do it. It was great. Now I'm glad to say that there is not only this place in the whole country. There is also in Brno another one that is called Cacao Bistro.
Very well, Carlos. I want to thank you once again for sharing your story, not just the professional aspect, but also the personal and very personal aspect, rather. And I wish you all the best. I hope we can see each other personally very soon. Good luck with the app and all the best to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Rodrigo. And wow, fantastic, this podcast. So keep going. I really love it. I really hear all the time. So keep it up.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you once again for listening, and I hope you'll join me in the next episode. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate the show, and leave your comments. If you want to write to me, my address is inbetweenexpats@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Just type @inbetweenexpats. Until next time, take care.